begun to talk about the new life that we have in Christ. And we were looking at Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 10 last week. We're going to pick up with verse 5 this week. Now, we've already looked at verse 5, so I'm not going to spend too much time going over those same verses. But I wanted to kind of pick up where we left off last time and just be reminded of the theme we're looking at. As we said earlier in the service, we are to take off the old, and as we'll see as we continue our service, this metaphor is actually developed even further in the letter of Ephesians, which is a kind of a parallel letter for Colossians. And so, and as we saw earlier, we are not able to do this in our own abilities. One of the themes we looked at from chapter 2 was that some were using religious rituals and practices to somehow transform themselves. And Paul reminded his readers, you cannot do this. It's only by the power and work of God in your life and Christ in your life that you're able to be transformed. So it is indeed our new life in Christ. Well, let me pick up and read the verses 5 through 10. We looked at these verses briefly last time, but we want to pick it up there and kind of develop this notion or metaphor of the transforming work of Christ. Reading from Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 5. Paul says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Then Paul goes on in verse 6, telling us, or answering the question, why is it so important to put off the old and put on the new? And he says here, beginning verse 6, because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. The imagery there and the picture you have on your screen is reminding us, it's an imagery of clothing. And it's a very rich metaphor. It's a metaphor that's developed even further in the book of Ephesians, as we've mentioned already. Let me just read a couple of verses from Ephesians chapter 4. As we've mentioned before, Colossians and Ephesians were written at the same time by Paul from prison. And a lot of the same themes are dealt with in both books. And one of the letters sometimes we'll develop that theme even more richly. So Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24, Paul writes these words. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its evil desires, and to remain new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on a new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And the word used there is indeed the word for taking off and putting on a set of clothes. We mentioned last week that one of the practices in the ancient world during the baptismal event was that the person being baptized would come to the place of baptism. They would remove their old clothes. They would have a loincloth or down in the water and be washed in the water for forgiveness of sins. And when they came out of the water, they would put on a brand new, fresh set of clothes. And it symbolized their newness of life. I just love that imagery. And so that metaphor of the clothing is a very rich metaphor. And there's so many facets of taking off the old and putting on the new that can be applied to this very same metaphor. Let me share with you a few possibilities. First of all, you've got taking off old clothes when they get soiled and dirty. You know, I don't know about you, but I go out in the yard and I work hard and I'm pulling weeds or trimming bushes. I get hot and I get sweaty and I get debris all over myself, and I come in and I like to take off those old clothes and put those old clothes in the dirty clothes basket. And I often will take a shower, clean myself up, and when I'm done, I do not put on those old set of clothes. That would be so counterintuitive to put back on sweaty, dirty, soiled clothing. I put on a new, fresh set of clothes. And again, we can apply this to our spiritual lives as well. In our old life, we are doing things that make us dirty, make us soiled, make us unclean. And so we want to be have this mindset of our old life needs to be changed and transformed. We take off the old clothes, put them away, put on a fresh set of clothes as well. And in our spiritual life, the same idea. We wouldn't want to be washed in the blood of Jesus and then begin to put on those same old dirty clothes that you wore before. And that's kind of what Paul is talking about in our passage today. We have practices that characterize the old life. Those need to be removed and thrown away, discarded, gotten rid of. And our new life in Christ needs to bring with it a new set of clothes. So one of the principles in this metaphor can indeed be this idea of removing, washing, and putting on a new set of clothes. And that's what Paul is encouraging us to do, both in Colossians and in the book of Colossians and Ephesians. Another aspect of this same metaphor is making decisions about what you will wear, especially in light of the new life. What kind of clothes are you going to put on? Sometimes, some of us, when we're in a hurry, we put on mixed match clothes. We put on clashy clothes, and it just seems so odd. If you are trying to get dressed and you're trying to make these good decisions, you want to make wise choices to represent the newness and the appropriateness. I know just getting dressed sometimes, if we don't make good decisions, we could really make a poor representation of ourselves. I sometimes will put on a tie that clashes with my shirt, and Tricia will remind me of that. It doesn't really work well together, and I've got to begrudgingly take off the tie or switch out the shirt. I don't like to do that, but it is called for at times. Here's another example, again, involving Tricia. I have stories. When it comes to clothes, she's the one who has given me a lot of direction. When we first met years ago, before we were together as a couple, and we served together on the same staff at the school, and I was the activities director, and she was one of the vice principals, and I was invited to some of our staff meetings because I have my responsibilities. And back then, I just didn't know. I didn't know how to dress myself really well, and I figured that dark blue socks goes with everything. And it doesn't matter what I wore, what kind of color pants or shirt or shoes I wore, I had two color socks in my drawer. I've got white socks I wore on the weekend. I had blue socks I wore to work, and blue socks was it. And she used to cringe when she saw me with my blue socks all the time. And we finally got together as a couple. She gently, and at the times firmly, reminded me that blue socks and the way I dress involves important decision making. So the idea that is true in our own lives. If we are living and walking in the newness of Christ, we cannot wear mismatched clothes. We have to be consistently making good decisions, making sure that things work together. And so as we apply this to our lives and what kinds of things we're going to put on, we want to make good decisions about this. And this sometimes takes some time to do it. I know sometimes many of us may take different amounts of time to decide what it is you are going to wear. You know, sometimes as a man, I'll have my decision made in about 30 seconds. Other people, Other people, sometimes it takes them 30 minutes to decide what to wear. Much thought does need to be put into those decision-making process. And so when we are picking out what we want to wear, we do need to choose wisely. And that's why Paul devotes so much time in both Colossians and Ephesians to describing for us the kinds of clothes we are to put on. So the decision-making, the time needed to make those decisions, and even the spiritual maturity. I know when we first become Christians, sometimes our decision-making isn't that good. We tend to want to practice some of the old things, and in time, the Holy Spirit will help us to grow and mature so we make better decisions. Another facet of that is the conditions in which we make those decisions. Are we making our decisions about what to wear in the dark or in the light? Again, there's so much that can be developed from that particular aspect, but sometimes when you're trying to get yourself dressed in the darkness, it could be disastrous, as this image here points out. This poor person thought they were matched up proper light when they were getting their shoes on, but the light of day reveals that maybe not so well decision-making that morning. But the idea is we want to make good decisions. We want to make those decisions in the light of Christ, in the light of the Holy Spirit, making decisions in the dark. And again, that metaphor of darkness can be taken in a variety of ways. We also want to make good decisions, and we want to draw upon the help of others when we are dressing ourselves up. Do we allow others to help us, or do we resist being dressed? Or getting dressed with the help of others. Again, it's an area of tremendous patience and development on my part. There's been times, as Tricia could attest, where I am not as open to correction or suggestions as I ought to be. But I think sometimes we need to allow others in our lives to help us in those decision-making processes. Not just parents to children, but with one another. Sometimes we try to wear a piece of clothing that just doesn't fit with our walk in Christ, and we think it looks okay, we think it works okay, but maybe we need to be open to how allowing others to give us some direction and on how it is or what it is we're to put on as we are putting on our new self, representing ourselves well. And this reminds us again, why are we doing all of this? You know, clothes often will give an impression about us. How we dress for different occasions. Are we going to a formal event? Are we going to an informal event? Are we dressing up to go to church? And this morning I went on a run, and I had some running clothes on. They clearly looked like running clothes. And I came home from my run this morning, or actually I shouldn't say run, I walked. But I came home and I had my running clothes on as I was walking, and I took those off because those would not have been appropriate to wear for a church gathering. I took my shower, and when I got out of the shower again, as I mentioned before, I didn't put on the old clothes, the sweaty shirt that I was wearing. I put on something new, something fresh. And again, it's to give that impression. I don't think you would like to have seen me this morning with my old ball cap and my T-shirt with clearly soiled and sweaty and tattered up. But we want to give an impression. We wear an old, faded, stained T-shirt, ripped jeans. We're going to give one impression to people. If we dress up nice and take the time to make sure our tie matches our shirt, our shoes match our socks, we're going to give a different impression. And why is it that we ought to give the impression that we want to give? Is because, as Paul tells us, we are children of God. We're image bearers. And that should be reflected in the kinds of clothes that we put on. In fact, let's review two verses quickly. This is, again, why we want to dress up. This is Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. Paul says, and have put on the new self. And why is that? Which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. We are to reflect God as our creator. That should be seen when people look at us. And then finally, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. And to put on the new self, created to be, and here it is, like God. The parallel thought we had in Colossians is the image of our creator. And now in Ephesians, we are to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And that's kind of what Paul is talking about here. Why would you leave your old life, receive Christ, be in Christ, and try to represent Christ, and then go on and practice the old ways? You want to put on a fresh set of clothes. Another way of application is going to a job interview. I've always heard it's so important of dressing in a certain way as you go into a job interview. You want to dress in such a way as to improve your chances of getting that job. There are some do's and there are some don'ts for going into a job interview. Well, what kind of clothes are we to wear in our Christian walk? What impression are we trying to give? Our new life in Christ should bring a new set of clothes, which represent a new set of behaviors. People will get an impression of us, and they'll get an impression of our Savior by looking at the clothes we wear. There's a wonderful Bible story that illustrates this point very well, the changing your clothes and changing your behavior, because that's what Paul's talking about here. We're using the metaphor of clothes, but we're really talking about behaviors. Paul gave us a list of behaviors that represented our old life and a list of behaviors that represent our new life. That story is a story of Zacchaeus. I'm not going to read the whole story. Many of us are familiar with that story. But if you remember, Jesus was walking through town that Zacchaeus lived in. And Zacchaeus, being a shorter man, went and climbed up a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus. And Jesus came and looked up into that tree and interacted with Zacchaeus. And there was indeed a transformation in the life of Zacchaeus. He had been touched by Jesus. He had been changed by Jesus. He repented of his old practices and he changed his clothes metaphorically. He took off an old set of practices and he put on a new set of practices. Here's the key verse from that particular story. I'm reading now from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verses 8 and 9. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back five times the amount." Now, there's a lot that goes into that story and a lot of background information that we want to assume. Here, Zacchaeus was, before he met Jesus, a tax collector who often would manipulate and deceive people in order to extract from them what he ought not to extract. He had an old set of practices that separated him from his community. But in coming to Christ, he makes decisions that both correct his old life and put into place a whole new set of practices. Changing our clothes, changing our practices, looking different on the outside because we are indeed different on the inside. What did Jesus say to Zacchaeus when he brought about this transformation, when he changed his old clothes and put on a new set of clothes? Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house because this man too is the son of Abraham." So again, kind of finishing up and reviewing the overall theme of our verses today, we are indeed to put on a new self. As we've already seen in our study of 1 John and our earlier chapters in Colossians, the old self was children of Satan. Our new self is a child of God. Our old self is not pleasing to God. Our new self is indeed to be pleasing to God. As you can tell from the slide on our screen now, there are many points of contrast between the old life and the new life and the theme of the scriptures. is that the old life is indeed the old life. The new life is indeed the new life. And when we leave one and join ourselves to the other, we leave behind a whole set of practices and attitudes and perspectives. And we are not to continue to walk in the oldness of ourself, our old self, and the old practices, but to be put on new. Let's go on to now verse 11 and 12. And we'll finish up this morning with verse 11 and 12. But there's a lot of wonderful insights packed into these verses. Let me read verse 11 for you first. It says, here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Now, Paul here is drawing upon themes that he had talked about earlier in this very letter. The idea is that Christ, as we saw in chapter 1, is the supremacy. All other things that would compete with Christ, that would try to work along with Christ, are to be put aside, and Christ is the supremacy. Another key thing that we're to understand in this is our identity in Christ. A key theme that we looked at earlier is the notion that we are in Christ. Very important phrase from the Apostle Paul, in Christ. And that's our identity. You know, so often in this life, we try to find our identity in so many unimportant things. We try to find our identity in whether or not we are Jew or Gentile, whether we're slave or free, whether we're circumcised or uncircumcised. Making it more, even more contemporary, we try to find our identity in what we do for by way of a profession, or we try to find our identity in our skills, or we try to find our identity in our wealth or our possessions. And Paul is reminding us that we should not find our identity in anything other than Christ. Imagine, if you will, someone finding their identity in being a great football player. They devote all their time and attention and energy to being the best football player they could. And their whole identity is wrapped up in being this great football player. However, one injury to a knee could end your football career. Obviously, finding your identity in being a great football player was something that is perishable, something that is temporary. And so we need to think about our own lives. Where do we find our identity? Who are we? Do we count ourselves as slave or free? Do we count ourselves as barbarian or Scythian? Do we count ourselves as Greek or Jew? Well, Paul says, don't count yourself, your identity, in any of those things. Christ is all and is in all. So a good point of application. Very good point of application. Our last passage, and then we'll be finished with Colossians for today. Verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. You notice that at the beginning of that verse, there are three characteristics that are used to describe us as God's people. Number one, we are to be God's chosen people. Notice here, it is God who is doing the choosing. All of this is a work of God, as we've mentioned time and time again. A wonderful parallel passage to this is found in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Peter writes, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So we are chosen people. We are holy. That means to be set apart. In the Old Testament, it was a temple that was holy. It was set apart, dedicated to the work of God. The New Testament communicates very clearly that now we individually and together as the body of Christ corporately are the new temple of God. We are holy. The Holy Spirit lives within us. We are set apart to God, and then we are dearly loved. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, chosen by God, holy in God's sight, and dearly loved by God. Just dwell upon those three characteristics of who we are as the people of God. These are to characterize our newness in Christ. And the verse ends reminding us of the things we are to put on. What are we to clothe ourselves in? We've already seen verses 5 and 6, the things we're to remove: slander, impurity, greed. Remove those old items. What are we to put on? And here we see a list of just 5 items. There are so many more that could be mentioned, but here are just 5 articles of clothing that would be consistent with our new life in Christ. We are to put on compassion, put on kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And I think of those words, I think of Jesus and what he was in his coming to this earth. He was a person of compassion and kindness, humility. We saw last year in our Philippians passage that he left the abode of heaven, took on the form of a humble servant in order to give his life for us. Gentleness, patience. Aren't we so thankful that God was patient with us in Christ? We need to be patient one with the other. So these are the articles of clothing that we are to put on. What clothes are we wearing today? What impression are we giving? Does our new clothes match our new life? Paul tells us to put on a new set of clothes, a new set of clothes. Have you gotten dressed this morning? Have you been washed up, cleaned up, and put on a new set of clothes? That is what God wants us to do in order to walk in the newness and put on the practices of the newness that characterize the mighty work of God in our lives. Amen. Let's come back together now and share if we can.